Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. If you have just joined us, you are listening to Radio Islam International. Welcome to the program, Socially Speaking. I am your host, Sister Zainat. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. Well, I know there's a lot of hype going on here at the moment at the radio station. Everybody getting ready for our big, the Hajj programs that will be taking proper part, inshallah, that everybody will be taking part in, inshallah. Well, I basically will start on Wednesday, inshallah, and of course that will be called my Hajj Focus 2015, inshallah. So for today, we still continue with our Monday morning focus, the ideal Muslimah, and today we continue discussing the Muslim woman is not a hypocrite, and that will be followed by Socially Speaking immediately, after the. The Monday morning focus. I hope to be crossing over to Makkah Mukarrama, and we hope, inshallah, to speak to Mawlana Muhammad Venka, hoping to get some insight and latest news about the tragedy that happened on Friday in Makkah, and also just, basically what is happening, people preparing themselves, just the news update, rather. Let's start off with our first part of the program, that is the Monday morning focus. Alhamdulillah, we're talking about a Muslim woman not becoming or being a hypocrite. The true Muslim woman is frank and open in her words and her opinions, and is the furthest removed from hypocrisy, flattery and false praise, because she knows from the teachings of Islam that hypocrisy is haram. To be a hypocrite is definitely haram, and it does not befit a true Muslim. So not only for women, definitely not only for women, for men too. But remember, it is haram to be a hypocrite. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, well, it's not only about being a hypocrite. Also, we're going to be talking about people flattering people all the time, with false praises. That is not what Islam teaches us. Okay, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam has protected us from falling into this mire of hypocrisy and flattery. Many, many people out there, are so insincere sometimes, and they just flatter you, and the person around you, the people around you maybe having a good laugh or mock at you or things like that. But the thing is, flattery is not something that Islam encourages at all. Now, like we said, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has protected us from falling into the mire of hypocrisy and flattery. When Banu Amir came to him and he praised him, saying, "You are our master," Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam replied to him, this is what he said, "The only master is Allah." And when they said, "You are the most excellent and the greatest of us," he said, "Say what you want or part of it, but do not speak like agents of shaitan. I do not want you to raise me above the status to which Allah has appointed me. I am Muhammad ibn Abdullah. I am the son of Abdullah, his servant and messenger." Allah's servant and messenger. So he didn't want to be put there on a high pedestal and, oh, he's the greatest man in the world. He certainly was the most humblest person in the whole wide world. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam prevented people from exaggerating in their praise of others. So he didn't even want people to praise other people in their presence, some of whom may not even be deserving of praise. When he forbade them to describe him as a master or excellent or great, at the time when he was without doubt the greatest of the messengers, the master of the Muslims and the greatest and the most excellent of them. We know what Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was. But he never wanted people to think of him as the greatest, as the best. He always wanted to be known as the messenger of Allah. And he was the son of Abdullah. Okay. He did this because he understood that if the door of praise was open to its fullest extent, It might lead to dangerous types of hypocrisy which are unacceptable to a pure Islamic spirit and the truth on which the religion is based. He forbade the Sahaba to praise a man to his face, lest the one who spoke the words crossed the boundary of hypocrisy, or the object of his admiration be filled with feelings of pride, arrogance, superiority, and self-admiration. In Bukhari and Muslim, narrated by Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, said, a man praised another man in the presence of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who said, woe to you, you have cut your companion's throat. So Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam didn't like people to be praised. He immediately told him that you are cutting your companion's throat. Several times he told him. Then he said, whoever of you insists on praising his brother, let him say, I think so and so is such and such, and Allah knows the exact truth, and I do not confirm anyone's good conduct before Allah, but I think him to be such and such if he knows that is the case. We are not there to judge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala knows best. You know, we sometimes look at people and we think, oh, that person is so pious, and we tell him on your face, you are so pious. We don't know what's between him and Allah. Somebody once told us that piety is between you and Allah. So we cannot judge a person. We cannot go out there and say, you are very pious, and on this, especially on their face, because we don't know. We cannot judge people. If praising a person cannot be avoided, then it must be sincere and based on truth. Now, if you are going to praise a person, then please, it must be sincere and based on truth. Because sometimes what people do is they just praise you for the sake of praising you, but they don't really mean anything they say. And, you know, just because everybody else says it, rather don't say anything, or rather make dua for that person. The praise should be moderate. Now, if you do, then it should be moderate, reserved, and without any exaggeration. This is the only way in which a society can rid itself of the diseases of hypocrisies, lies, deceits, etc. So, you know, when you, for some reason, want to praise somebody, then please be sincere when you praise somebody, but don't do it on a person's face, because, you know, it sometimes embarrasses the person, you know, and like they say, it can lead to hypocrisy, it can lead to lies, deceit, and so on. And also, I think very important is, it can go to your head, you know, the person that is being praised, and then they think, oh, there's not nobody like us, everybody thinks that we're good, so, you know, we don't need to listen to what other people say. We don't need criticism in our lives because we know we are good. No, that is not how we as Muslims should behave. In Al-Adab Al-Mufrad, Bukhari reports from Raja, from Mihjan Al-Aslami, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Mihjan were in the mosque when the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam saw a man praying, bowing, and prostrating, and he asked, who is this? Mihjan began to praise the man, saying, O Messenger of Allah, he is so and so, and he is such and such. The Prophet ﷺ stopped him immediately, and he said, stop, do not let him hear you, or it will be his downfall. So we need to be so careful. We shouldn't just go out there. If you know a person, you know, maybe it's a very knowledgeable person, and you know that person is so good at what he's doing, you know, don't go out there and keep on telling him the same thing, or her telling her the same thing. You may, you know, that person may take it to their head, in other words, and they start thinking, like I said earlier, you know, I'm the best, there's nobody like me. So if a person is knowledgeable, then, and you feel that he's such a good person, he has all the good qualities that you would like to praise him with, then rather make dua for him, so that Allah can increase you in knowledge, alhamdulillah, or, you know, whatever it is, whatever the person is good in, whatever the person does, then just praise them and make, you know, in your mind praise them, but make dua for them. make dua for them, I think the people will, you know, appreciate it more. And really, it can be very embarrassing sometimes if people praise you in front of a whole lot of people and you feel like you just need to put your head one side or run away from the crowd. So please don't do that in future. Think about it. These are things that happen to people out there. And I think it's important that we know that. Now, according to a report given by Ahmad and Mehjan, he said, "O Messenger of Allah, this is so-and-so, one of the best people of Medina, or one of the people who praise the most in Medina." And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Do not let him hear you, or it will be his downfall two or three times. You are an ummah for whom I wish ease." So don't let another person feel embarrassed. And especially if you know you are embarrassing the person, then please, you know, don't do it. And also sometimes too much can lead to the downfall of that particular person. The Prophet ﷺ described hearing praise as being a person's downfall because of its profound psychological impact on the human mind, which by nature loves to hear such words. People like to be told how smart you are and how great you are, but please, you know, we need to be careful how we praise people. So the one who is praised begins to feel, now this is like Rasulullah says that it can lead to a person's downfall. So the one who is praised begins to feel superior to and to look down on other people. If such praise is repeated by the hypocrites and the flatterers, and how many of them there are surrounding those in positions of power and authority, then this will satisfy a strong desire in his or her heart and will become something he or her wants to hear regularly. So this is what Rasulullah ﷺ says. He says, It plays on your mind. It's something psychological. It plays on your mind. Sometimes the more you hear the praise, the more you want to be praised, and you know, the more you feel there's nobody like you in the world, and you will want to hear more praises all the time. And what will happen is that he will start hating to hear criticism and advice, and will only accept praise, thanks, and adulation. So he's not going to want to be criticized if he knows, oh no, these people are always telling me how good I am. No. No wonder then that the truth will be lost, justice will be eliminated, morality will be destroyed, and society will be corrupt. And we see it, you know, the media does it to many people out there where they, you know, they go all out to praise the people that they want to, like people like leaders and sportsmen and politicians, and when there's any little criticism, then it really you know, leads to their downfall. Now, for this reason, the Prophet ﷺ ordered his companions to throw dust in the faces of those who praise others less than number, and hence flattery and hypocrisy increase. This will increase, of course, which would have disastrous consequences for the whole Muslim society. So we want an ideal Muslim society. And if, you know, all these things that we discuss seem so, you know, such small things that we're talking about, but it is what makes us true and pure Muslim. And especially sisters out there, if we can behave the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants us, the way Islam prescribes, then we would be the best of society, inshallah. The Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them all, used to feel upset when they heard others praising them. They would actually feel upset, although they were the most deserving of such praise, because they feared its disastrous consequences and adhered to the basic principles of Islam that abhor such cheap, empty expressions. Nafi radiallahu anha, anhu sali, and others said, a man said to Ibn Umar, "O you who are the best of people, or O son of the best of people." Ibn Umar said, "I am not the best of people, neither am I the son of the best of people. I am just one of the servants of Allah." I hope to His mercy and I fear His wrath. By Allah, you will continue to pursue a man with your praise until you bring about his downfall and his destruction. So I think that says it all. This is a wise statement from a very great Sahabi of the utmost Islamic sensibilities who adhered to Islamic teachings both in secret and openly. The Sahaba, may Allah be pleased with them, all understand precisely the Prophet ﷺ's guidance, telling them that if their words and their deeds should be free from hypocrisy, the great difference between that which is done sincerely for the sake of Allah and that which is merely hypocrisy and flattery was abundantly clear to him. Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said that some people said to him, "When we visit our rulers, we tell them something different from what they say when we have left them." Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu said, "At the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we used to consider this to be hypocrisy." So you say something and in the presence of the people, but when you leave, you say something else about the person. So that is called hypocrisy. Finally, the true Muslim woman is protected by her religion from sinking to the dangerous levels of hypocrisy to which many women today have sunk, who think that they have not overstepped the bounds of polite flattery. They do not realize that there is a type of flattery that is haram and that they should sink so low without realizing it and fall into the sin of this despised hypocrisy which may lead to their ultimate doom. This happens when they keep quiet and they refrain from telling the truth, or when they praise those who do not deserve it. Well, listeners, I hope this is something that we shall be thinking about for the next week again, or rather not next week. Maybe I'll be back again after Eid to continue with this Monday morning focus. And I hope this will benefit each and every sister and brother out there, inshallah. Stay tuned. We will return, inshallah, and I hope we can get Maulana Venkar online today. We're going to be talking about the tragedy that happened on Friday, and of course we have some other information that we will also share with you with regards to the first 10 days of Zilhajjah, the virtues of it. Stay tuned, we'll be back in a few moments.
I love spending time with my dad. He's always trying to get me to do what he thinks is best for me, and he just cares a lot about me. I'm safe with him.
If I get scared, I go to him and he helps me.
He's been doing martial arts for a long time, so I know that he'll protect me.
I feel like he always is there for me whenever I need him.
He's kind, sweet.
His heart is really big like this one.
When we're running out of time or something, he's always like, it's okay, don't worry about it.
I can always count on him to help me with stuff.
He just makes me feel safe.
My dad's just like, kid. He's the best.
He's a really nice guy. I wouldn't like any other dad better than him.
Like, the best dad I ever had.
Yeah, he's like my best friend.
Whether you call him dad or pa or abi, our fathers are our rocks. Ibrahim alayhi salam's life journey is one that epitomizes the spirit of sacrifice, especially as a dad and a father. This Dhul Hijjah, at a time when Muslims all over the world commemorate the ultimate fatherly sacrifice of Nabi Ibrahim alayhi salam and Nabi Ismail alayhi salam, Radio Islam invites entries on how your father sacrificed for you to become the Muslim you are today. Send your contribution of 10 sentences or less to sacrifice@radioislamlive.com or fax 011-854-7024. T's and C's apply. Prizes are for grabs.
Radio Islam cannot guarantee that any business, insurance or financial institution whose services are advertised are Sharia compliant.
Invest up to 30,000 Rand per year in a Sharia compliant tax-free savings account with 27 investment managers. You can now invest in our top-performing Sharia-compliant unit trusts, knowing that all capital gains and dividends you earn are completely tax-free and have access to your money at any time. Grow your money tax-free by calling us today on 011-442-2464 or visit 274.com. 274 Investment Managers is an authorized financial services provider.
Dua when entering masjid.
Allahumma iftahli abwaab rahmatik.
O Allah, open for me the doors of your mercy.
To India to experience exotic spices. Come to Mars Spice. We select the best. We clean the best. You get the best. Ghana, Jiru, Garam Masala, Maschachas Mexican Manchurian Spices. Bring your daddy and your nanny to Mars Spice. Turn your cooking into a fine art. Come visit us at Mars Spice. 33 Concord Place, Lanasia. 011-854-3256. Behind Jamia Masjid.
Takbir.
Allahu Akbar.
Allah is the greatest.
Lanesia Muslim School Annual Kurbani 2015. We provide the following: hygienic facilities, slaughtering, skinning and cleaning, storage and slicing facilities, viewing of sheep at Coogan's Farm from Saturday, 5th September 2015 onwards. All proceeds towards developing of the Lanesia Muslim School. For bookings and info, contact Ibrahim Motala, 082-757-5864, Abdul Samad Ismail, 082-857-5560, or the Lanesia Muslim School, 011-857-1062 or 011-857-1221. Storage and slicing facilities will be provided at the Coogan's Farm.
Socially Speaking is a live interactive program that deals with relevant social issues. Every Monday at 10 a.m., you can join the discussion with Sister Zenat and her esteemed guest speaker, Maulana Muhammad Banker.
We study many, many modern writers today say that Islam, na'udhu billah, was spread through the sword. Islam was not spread through fighting, but Islam was spread through that noble akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he's exalted by the very declaration of the Quran al-Karim that وَرَفَعَنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا.
Every alternate week, they will also be discussing relevant social issues from an Islamic point of view. Be sure to catch this enlightening, inspiring and spiritually uplifting discussion only on Radio Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillah, we do have Maulana Banker online today. And Maulana is in Makkah at the moment and we are crossing over to him as we speak. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh, Maulana.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh to you, sister, and to the esteemed listeners of Radio Islam International.
Alhamdulillah. Well, we know now that you are there and you are safe, alhamdulillah. Now, in view of the disaster, Maulana, that took place on Friday, we understand that it was mostly Pakistanis, Indians, Bangladeshis, etc. that were killed and wounded. And I also understand that you, Maulana, had a narrow escape. You know, you were apparently just left the area a few minutes before the disaster struck. Can you share with us your experience, please?
Okay, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, nahmatuhu wa nusalli ala rasulil kareem, amma ba'd. All praises belong to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Peace, blessings, salutations be upon our leader and master Nabi Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Indeed, the incident that had taken place on Friday was extremely tragic. You know, where the lives of innocent people were taken away in the most, gruesome manner. And I'm sure many of us have seen footage, we have read articles, we have heard about the tragedy, that had taken place. We were in the Haram Sharif for the Asar Salah, you know, more or less in that particular area where the crane had collapsed. And after the Asar Salah, we had left. And, you know, over the years, we've been coming to Makkah Mukarramah, to Medina Munawwara, alhamdulillah. And the weather this year has been some sort of strange. I've been speaking to the locals as well. And they have never experienced weather of this nature. Where there's been a lot of rain, there's been a lot of sandstorms. not only in Mecca, but in Medina Munawwara, in Jeddah, and the surrounding areas. End of the day, this is the will of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. Whatever had happened at that day, you know, we could lay the blame on whatever it is, but this is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala decided. You know, we had left from that particular area and we had noticed the, you know, the clouds burning up and the, you know, the winds began, you know, there were severe winds. And thereafter it started raining. There was, you know, there was a lot of rain, there was hail, people were circumambulating, making tawaf around the Baytullah. And, you know, just, it was just fortunate that people were not, it was not during the Salat time when this tragedy had taken place. Had it taken place during the Salat time, I guess the, you know, the casualties would have went into thousands. But, you know, Allah alone knows why this had taken place. So it had taken place approximately about 45 minutes before the Maghrib Salah. It was raining at that time, and there were some people who were sitting, you know, on that part of the Mataf, which was on the side of the door of the Kaaba. This is where the crane had collapsed, and, you know, these people had become martyred. Now, there are many, many lessons that we can take from this particular incident. You know, being the day of Jumu'ah, we learn from the ahadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Man mata laylat al-jumwa aw yawm al-jumwa illa waqahu Allah min fitnati al-qabr." That person who passes away on a Friday, such a person, there's no questioning for him in the grave. And number two, such a person earns the reward of martyrdom. Those who had passed away, majority of them, you know, some of them were cleaners, some of them were security in the haram, but majority of them, you know, were hujjaj who had come on the journey of Hajj. So being the day of Jumu'ah, between Asr and Maghrib, and, you know, they being on the journey of Hajj. So, inshallah, those who have passed on, they have earned the reward of martyrdom. You know, those who had survived, those who had witnessed, there were many, many South Africans who were on the Mataf at that particular time when this incident, this tragedy had taken place, you know, who witnessed firsthand, you know, something of that nature, where there was blood that was splattered, you know, across the Mataf. You know, some people, they, some of those who passed away, their bodies were, their hands were amputated. Some of them, their limbs were, you know, lying, one side, you know, the part of the body was lying on the other side. You know, they were taken out on stretchers, some of them on wheelchairs. Indeed, it was a very, very, you know, sad sight to see people passing away in that manner. But end of the day, you know, we cannot question the decision of Allah. You know, this is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala had decided. But like the Arabic poet says it so beautifully, As-sa'idu man wu'ida bighayri. An intelligent man is the one who heeds the happenings around him. An intelligent man is the one who heeds the happenings around him. Those who have passed on, inshallah, they have attained the rank and the reward of martyrdom. Those who had witnessed it, you know, some of us were back home, we had seen footage. You know, I thought, you know, just as my humble suggestion, you know, I had seen many, many messages, WhatsApp messages, BBM messages, you know, floating around and circulating, where people were voicing their own opinions and, you know, their own suggestions and coming to their own conclusions. You know, the basic fundamental we learn, when news reaches us, verify the information before disseminating the information. You know, generally we have the tendency that I should be the first to send out the information. It's not that. This was a tragedy. It was a catastrophe. It was a calamity, you know, that that had befallen Makkah al-Mukarramah, the holiest of places, right in the in front of the Baytullah. So, you know, this is something we need to empathize, we need to sympathize with those who had passed on. And, you know, the first question that, you know, people were asking, were there any South Africans who were involved in this tragedy? Indeed, you know, just fortunately, alhamdulillah, there were no South Africans that were involved. Some of them were present, you know, on the Mataf when this incident had taken place. But, you know, indeed, we sympathize with all those individuals, you know, who had passed away, you know, on Friday evening.
Oh, alhamdulillah, that must have been a real terrifying experience for you too, Mulana.
Yes, absolutely. You know, there were many, many hujjaj. It's the first time we had seen something of that nature, you know, in anywhere else, you know, especially in the Haram Sharif. In Makkah al-Mukarramah. And like I mentioned, that, you know, it's an eye-opener, that it can happen at any time, it can happen in the best of places. Mm-hmm. So this is what Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala decides.
Okay, you know, just something I wanted to mention is we were watching Al Jazeera and looking, they showed a picture of, you know, bombs on, in Yemen, and then next to it was a picture of the, you know, the storm. And it made me think a bit, and I'm thinking, Ya Allah, this is your way of showing us that I can also bring up disaster the same way. It looked similar. If you had to look at the bombings happening and then the storm, you would have thought it's bombings at both places.
Yes, absolutely. In fact, the winds were very severe. Normally you find people, close to Salah times rushing towards the Haram. I had seen people running away from the Haram, from the Haram. The winds were so severe, people were falling down because on the Mataf, it gets very, very slippery, especially when it rains. Mm. And the other problem that you find in Makkah, especially because of the drainage system, they do not experience rains of this nature. So it starts raining for a few minutes and the streets get flooded. So it makes it very, very difficult, for traffic to move and for people to move around.
Gee. Well, anyway, the pictures were very, very horrifying, that was circulating on social media.
Yes. And there are many, many people, South Africans, who have seen this firsthand, bodies of mutilated individuals, lying on the mataf. But alhamdulillah, we need to, I think, place on record, that the authorities have done a stirring job. In fact, as soon as the incident had happened, they cordoned off the area. Tawaf was still continuing by that evening. They had repaired that part of the mataf that was damaged.
Mm-hmm. So maybe can you just tell us, very briefly, what is the latest with regard to the disaster? What was the mood of the people at that time, all the Hujaj around there?
At that time, obviously, it was the talk on everybody's tongue with regards to the tragedy and, those who had witnessed firsthand what had happened. But alhamdulillah, end of the day, things are back to normal. In the back of the minds of the Hujaj, we had seen what had happened. But things are back to normal in Makkah. The Hujaj are bracing themselves, for the journey of Hajj. And today, tomorrow being the first of Zulhijjah, today many, many of the Hujjaj have already moved to Aziziyah, and they will be based in Aziziyah till the 8th of Zulhijjah. Inshallah, that will be next week, Tuesday, where the Hujjaj will embark on the journey of Hajj. So alhamdulillah, the Hujjaj are in good spirits, coupled with that, we feel sad, for this tragedy and this catastrophe that had taken place. But I think one solace that we can take from this incident, like I mentioned, it happened on a Friday, between Asr and Maghrib. And, these people, inshallah, Allah tabarak wa ta'ala will reward them with the reward of martyrdom. Because we learn from the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that any person who passes away in the manner that these have passed away, Allah will reward them with the reward of martyrdom. And that particular, it was really a sight that has left an indelible impression on my heart. That particular day when the day after they had performed the janaza salah of all those who had passed away, the dignitaries, the imams of the haram, and many high profile, delegates were present in the haram sharif, to perform the janaza salah of those. And there are many, many people who are still in hospitals. Some of them, in fact, we have seen visuals, we have seen footage with, part of the crane, pieces of steel with, in the backs of these individuals. And, the doctors, alhamdulillah, they're doing a sterling job. And there are many, many of those who are still in hospitals. We should make dua for them. Allah tabarak wa ta'ala grant all those, who have become victims of this catastrophe. Allah ta'ala grant them complete shifa, inshallah.
Inshallah. Well, Anwar, just a last question with regards to this. Is there any sign of the accident or the tragedy? Is the place cleared up completely already?
The place where the crane had collapsed, in fact, that part is closed to the public. You cannot get anywhere close to that. Within the next few days, they will clear that area out. But like I mentioned, the area of the mataf, that area has been repaired, and the mataf is back to normal. The rings, on the mataf, what they call the donut rings, where the hujjaj normally make tawaf and circumambulate the Baytullah, that has also been reopened. This was opened yesterday morning. Mm-hmm. So the hujjaj are using that also to make tawaf. But that area where the crane had collapsed, like I mentioned, on Friday, we had Asr Salah, very close to that. So it was the will of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Allah, you know, decided to spare us a little longer. Whatever Allah decides, you know, that is exactly what would happen, nothing more, nothing less, on its appointed time.
Mulana, this won't in any way, you know, this disaster won't in any way, you know, what do they say, affect the Hajj that's just a few days away.
No, no, absolutely. Like I mentioned, the authorities have gone full out, you know, to ensure, you know, the safety of the Hajjaj. They have cordoned off certain areas, and inshallah, the Hajj will go, you know, as scheduled, inshallah.
Inshallah, ameen. Mulana, we take a very short break. When we come back, inshallah, we want to talk a little about, you know, the virtues of these 10 days of Zilhijjah. Stay tuned. We'll be back in a few moments.
People everywhere feel hunger, but for some, hunger is felt every day and night. The Al Imdad Foundation brings you a new, smart and sustainable canned kurbani program. With only 1,700 rand per sheep, we will slaughter, can and distribute your kurbani to the most needy Syrian people for whom hunger has become a way of life. All you have to do is donate. The rest will be taken care of. Our cut-off date for kurbani is the 18th of September 2015. Visit alimdad.com or call 0861-786-243 for more information.
Thalinejoy Muslim Association, your partner in fulfilling your responsibility of granting your child the greatest gift of basic Faratini education. We urge you not to compromise on this need of your child, which will be Thawabi Jariya for you. Thalinejoy Muslim Association invites you to earn Thawabi Jariya by educating a learner at only 250 rand per month or part thereof. A few rands in the LMA 10 will keep the wheels turning of serving Mjesa and Masjid.
Shama Spice World of Tunisia has the following specials. Sana Stella Brown Basmati Rice 5 kilograms, 99 rand 90. Sana Super Kernel Low GI Basmati Rice 5 kilo, 95 rand. Steer Sauces 375 mils, 14 rand. Ariel Otto 2 kilograms, 48 rand. Cool Baked Beans 410 grams, 3 for 22 rand 50. Royal Baking Powder 200 grams, 13 rand. Close Up Toothpaste Red 125 mils, 3 for 20 rand. Now in stock, a wide range of Amina's Masalas and Marinades. Get Shama Spice World. Contact 011-852-5568.
Socially Speaking is a live interactive program that deals with relevant social issues. Every Monday at 10 a.m., you can join the discussion with Sister Zenat and her esteemed guest speaker, Maulana Muhammad Banker.
We study many, many modern writers today say that Islam, na'udhu billah, was spread through the sword. Islam was not spread through fighting, but Islam was spread through that noble akhlaq of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam when he's exalted by the very declaration of the Quran al-Karim that وَرَفَعَنَا لَكَ ذِكْرًا.
Every alternate week, they will also be discussing relevant social issues from an Islamic point of view. Be sure to catch this enlightening, inspiring, and spiritually uplifting discussion only on Radio Islam.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome back to the program Socially Speaking. And we are talking to Maulana Muhammad Banker, who is currently in Makkah. Inshallah, and Jazakallahu khair, Maulana, for that update. We certainly do appreciate it, and I'm sure listeners out here will feel much more, you know, happier knowing that everything's okay down that side. Maulana, how do the first 10 days of the month of Zilhijjah differ from other days of the year?
Yes, Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In the Quran al-Karim, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala says, "Wal-fajri wa-layalin ashr." Allah Ta'ala speaks about the first 10 nights of Zilhijjah. In the ahadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I'm sure we have heard this hadith on, you know, many, many occasions. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said that that person who fasts the first 9 days of Zulhijjah will get the reward of fasting one entire year. And a person who stands up before Allah any of these nights, the first 10 nights of Zulhijjah, will get the reward as though he stood before Allah Laylatul Qadr. Now we all know in the month of Ramadan, you know, we all search and look for the night of Qadr in the odd nights, the last 10 nights. And here Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has given us that assurance that that person who will worship Allah on any of these first 10 nights, Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala will grant that person the reward of worshipping Allah Laylatul Qadr. It is indeed a boon and a bounty from the side of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala that Allah has afforded us with this wonderful opportunity, you know, attaining His proximity, attaining His closeness. You know, for those of us, you know, who are back home, I'm sure many of us, you know, some of us have, last year, some of us have been on the journey of Hajj. And, you know, we remember the wonderful moments we had enjoyed, you know, during the days of Hajj, the days leading on to Hajj. But, you know, this is a great consolation for us. You know, the days of Zulhijjah, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had been mentioned. So inshallah, let us try and capitalize on this opportunity. Make this ambition a reality. If we can fast, let us inshallah try and fast. Spend some portion of these nights inshallah in the worship of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala.
Mm-hmm. Alhamdulillah. Now, Mulana, I know that's basically for us to do, but now, what about the Hujjaj? How are they preparing themselves these last few days leading up to the Hajj?
Yes, generally what happens with the Hujjaj, perhaps majority of the Hujjaj, if not all of them, move to Azizia. Azizia is a suburb which is close to Makkah, approximately 5 kilometers away from Makkah. Some of the Hujjaj move on the 1st of Zulhijjah. Some of them move on the 4th of Zulhijjah. So in Azizia, you know, programs normally take place. Alhamdulillah, I must place on record that, you know, the South African groups that come on Hajj, every one of them have scholars and ulama that accompany the groups, you know, just to give the Hujjaj the guidance and the spiritual motivation, you know, the days leading up to Hajj. What we normally do in Azizia after we settle down, after every salah, we normally give the Hujjaj, you know, some nasiha. What I normally do is that we take the Hajjatul Ladi, the farewell sermon of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we unpack the advices that were given by Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and we discuss that with the Hujjaj, so that we can brace ourselves, you know, the Hujjaj, every one of us on a spiritual journey, you know, people, spiritual levels, we have been to Medina, we have come to Mecca, you know, we are in these blessed lands. So the Hujjaj are rejuvenated, you know, anticipating the days of Hajj. Alhamdulillah, in our group this year, we have an individual who's 90 years of age. And really, my hat off to that person. You know, when we arrived in Makkah, you know, we find youngsters today, you know, they sit and they read Salah. Some of them, they go on the wheelchairs. This elderly man, really, Allah Ta'ala grant him and Allah Ta'ala grant all the Hujjaj. You know that, you know, he had made tawaf and the sa'i, he did the entire thing walking, mashallah. So really, this is Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala grants that person, this grants these Hujjaj the strength and that ability. Normally back home, you want to go down the road, you jump into the car. Yeah, alhamdulillah, you walk kilometers on end, but Allah ta'ala grants us that strength, alhamdulillah. So whilst we in Azizia, programs normally take place, you know, where we advise the Hujjaj, you know, on, you know, one is the classes that we conduct just before Hajj with regards to Hajj itself, and general advices and nasiha, you know, are given to the Hujjaj, because this is an opportunity, you know, for us to, you know, make the change in our life, inshallah.
Inshallah. Mulana, how should we at home, as Muslims not being there with you at the moment, how do we keep ourselves occupied, you know, just to so that we can gain the maximum of reward?
Yes, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we learn from the ahadith that that person who intends, you know, who intends bringing the qurbani, such a person, you know, from the 1st of Zulhijjah, such a person should not say his name. He should do this, you know, before the month of Zulhijjah sets in. And this is, you know, this is symbolic for those, you know, who will be in the state of Ihram. Normally in the state of Ihram, you know, it's not permissible to pare the nails, not permissible to remove any unwanted hair, etc. So this is symbolic to those who are in the state of, who will be in the state of Ihram. So once the month of Zulhijjah sets in, we need to brace ourselves. We need to, like I mentioned, to condition our lives. You know, that the rewards are so great. If we cannot fast all 10 days or the first 9 days, let us fast, inshallah, a few of these days. And the nights of Zulhijjah, we spoke about the virtue of it. spend a few moments every night. You know, read 2 rakats of salah, read 4 rakats of salah. Inshallah, we will get the reward as though we had worshipped Allah, Laylatul Qadr, inshallah. So these are wonderful opportunities when Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala pardons, Allah forgives, Allah emancipates. You know, thousands, inshallah, those will be standing on the plains of Arafat. What did Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say? When the haji, when he supplicates Allah, when he asks Allah for forgiveness, not only does Allah forgive him, but Allah forgives all those on whose behalf you know, he asks forgiveness for.
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, when is it officially confirmed, rather, the sighting of the moon and, you know, when Hajj will start and all that?
Yes. Tomorrow, inshallah, tomorrow being Tuesday, will be the first of Zulhijjah. So, inshallah, the first day of Hajj will commence next week, Tuesday, when the Hajjaj, after the Fajr Salah, will proceed to Mina. So, the day of Arafah will be next week, Wednesday, inshallah. And this will coincide, you know, with the Islamic date in South Africa as well.
Alhamdulillah. Maulana, Jazakallah khair for a wonderful talk. We certainly do appreciate all the information that you shared with us. And we do wish you all the best. Inshallah, we'll be speaking to you again, inshallah, on Monday, if that is okay with you.
Absolutely. Jazakallah khairan for the opportunity. And we request those who are back home, you know, to remember the Hujjaj. Not only the South African, some of us have family members, friends, you know, who have embarked on this journey of Hajj. Let us make dua for them and make dua for all the Hujjaj. Allah Ta'ala grant us all a Hajj maqbool. Allah Ta'ala grant us all a Hajj mabroor. And let us not forgive those who have passed away in this tragedy that had taken place. You know, spare a thought for them, spare a dua for them, and especially those who are still in hospitals and clinics who are suffering, you know, due to this catastrophe, this tragedy that had taken place. May Allah Ta'ala grant them complete shifa so they could, you know, complete the rites of Hajj, inshallah. And, you know, I know some of you, you know, back home who are listening, who were with us last year and, you know, the previous years, inshallah, Allah Ta'ala bring us again and again, and those who have not been, Allah Ta'ala open this avenue for us so that we could come on this journey of Hajj. Inshallah, we request you to make dua for us, and inshallah, we remember you, all the listeners of Radio Islam, the Muslims of South Africa, and the Muslims globally in our du'as, inshallah. Till we meet again, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
Wa alaikum salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Well, our condolences to the families who've lost their loved ones at the tragic incident that happened on Friday. Rest assured, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loved them so much that Allah decided to make them amongst the shuhada or the martyrs. Well, they died in front of the Kaaba, they died on Friday, they died while worshipping Allah. Blessed are their souls. Jannah for them, inshallah. I'd like to take this opportunity to make dua for them. Allah grant all the deceased Jannatul Firdaus and the injured complete shifa, and of course all the loved ones Sabri Jamil. Well, that's it then from me. Until next, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.